resistance who are defending themselves and their people against Zionist crimes.
People from all walks of life, the elderly, women and children, attended the demonstration to pledge that the Palestinian cause is not political, but rather a humanitarian cause. They called the whole Muslim nation to stand up for Palestine.
We are here to defend our first Qibla, our brothers and sisters in Palestine who are facing ethnic cleansing by these fascist Zionists. We are certain that this land will be liberated no matter how much the US and West try. Palestine will be freed and justice shall prevail. This is God's promise.
Saturday's rally is the second such a protest in Istanbul. It comes as Turkish officials are in touch with Egyptian authorities to facilitate the transfer of basic necessities, including food and medical supplies, to the people living in the Gaza Strip. People here called the government to take concrete steps to end the Israeli siege on Gaza and put an end to the regime's atrocities against innocent civilians. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
In the limelight.
In the United States, Judge Tanya Chutkan has said Donald Trump's presidential candidacy does not give him carte blanche to vilify public servants or simply doing their job. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. National broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. The federal judge overseeing the case against former President Donald Trump relating to the 2020 election agreed on Monday, 16th of October, to impose some limitations on what he can say publicly about the case, restricting the former president and his attorneys from making inflammatory statements targeting special counsel Jack Smith and his staff, court personnel, and possible witnesses who may testify in the proceedings. The decision from the U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan followed a lengthy hearing in federal court in Washington, D.C. regarding a request from Special Counsel Jack Smith and his team to limit what Donald Trump can say about the case brought against him by the Justice Department. Judge Tanya Chutkan issued a split ruling granting the Justice Department's request for restrictions on the specific statements by the former president that she said could jeopardize the trial. This is not about whether I like the language Mr. Trump uses. This is about language that presents a danger to the administration of justice, the judge said. Donald Trump posted on Truth Social that he will appeal the decision. Judge Tanya Chutkan denied Special Counsel Jack Smith's request to prohibit the president from making statements about the District of Columbia, where a trial set for March of 2024 is scheduled to be held, or criticizing the Biden administration or the Justice Department. Donald Trump has accused the special counsel of pursuing a politically motivated prosecution designed to harm his campaign against President Biden in the 2024 presidential race. First Amendment protections yield to the administration of justice and the protection of witnesses, Judge Chutkan said on Monday, 16th of October. In a statement, a Trump spokesperson called the decision an absolute abomination and another partisan knife struck in the heart of our democracy. President Trump will continue to fight for our Constitution, the American people's right to support him, and to keep our country free from the chains of weaponized and targeted law enforcement, the spokesperson for Trump said. During the at times contentious court hearing on Monday, 16th of October, where allegations of threats and political censorship abounded, attorneys and Judge Tanya Chutkan herself grapples with the potential consequences of either taking action to limit Trump's public statements or keeping the current conditions of his pretrial release in place. Prosecutors asked Judge Tanya Chutkan last month to impose what they described as a narrowly tailored order to prevent the former president from making extrajudicial statements that present a serious and substantial danger of materially prejudicing the case. Citing numerous tweets and other public statements, the special counsel, Jack Smith, argued that Trump has an established practice of targeting those who challenge him, which, they said, could damage the fair trial process. Donald Trump, they alleged on Monday, was trying the case in the court of public opinion. His attorneys opposed the request, claiming any court order would restrict his right to free speech and hinder his ability to campaign because the criminal prosecution and the issues it raises are intertwined with the political campaign. The move, the defense contended, was an attempt to silence the former president, and Donald Trump himself characterized the proposition as politically motivated. Mr. Trump is a criminal defendant. He's facing 4 felony charges. He's under the custody of the criminal justice system, Judge Tanya Chutkan said at the outset. He does not have the right to say and do exactly as he pleases. Conventional conditions of release prevent criminal defendants from threatening or persuading potential witnesses. Still, the judge worked through the prosecution's proposed gag order, passing the definitions of words like disparaging and inflammatory, and raising issues with the breadth of what Special Counsel Jack Smith's team had asked for. We have no interest in preventing the defendant from running for office or defending his reputation, Prosecutor Molly Gaston said. Donald Trump is entitled to say that the Department of Justice is acting unlawfully, defense attorney John Larrow said. He's entitled to say things that are insulting to these prosecutors, claiming that Trump has so far abided by the conditions of release that Judge Tanya Chutkan enacted earlier this year. The judge laughed in response and said she would take issue with that contention. The website Politico has also covered the same story and tells us more. A federal judge has barred Donald Trump from attacking witnesses, prosecutors, and court staff involved in his Washington, D.C. criminal case, imposing a gag order that sharply escalates the tension between Trump's 2024 bid for the presidency and the realities of his status as a criminal defendant. First Amendment protections yield to the administration of justice and to the protection of witnesses, Judge Tanya Chutkan said on Monday, 16th of October, as she issued the gag order. His presidential candidacy does not give him carte blanche to vilify public servants who are simply doing their job. For Donald Trump, it's one of the first tangible consequences of his multiple brushes with the criminal justice system. In this case, on 4 felony charges relating to efforts to subvert the 2020 election. Judge Chutkan has scheduled Donald Trump's trial to begin on 4th of March 2024 and emphasized on Monday, 16th of October, that that date would not change. This trial will not yield to the election cycle and we will not revisit the trial date, Judge Chutkan said. Complying with Judge Chutkan's order will require a significant shift in Donald Trump's public demeanor. He routinely uses his social media platform and rally speeches to assail his lead federal prosecutor, Special Counsel Jack Smith. As deranged, Donald Trump also has taken to branding the lawyers working under Jack Smith as thugs. Those comments, Judge Tanya Chutkan said, risk poisoning the proceedings. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. Donald Trump has been issued a limited gag order by the federal judge overseeing the criminal case over his efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election, prohibiting him from making public statements attacking prosecutors, court staff, and potential trial witnesses. The former president was not prohibited from generally disparaging the Biden administration, the U.S. Justice Department, and the trial venue of Washington, D.C., and will continue to be allowed to allege that the case against him was politically motivated. Those were the contours of a tailored protective order handed down on Monday, 16th of October, by Tanya Chutkan, the U.S. District Judge, who said she would enter a written ruling at a later date, but warned Donald Trump's lawyers that any violation of the order could lead to immediate punitive sanctions. The ruling was the culmination of a two-hour hearing in federal district court after prosecutors in the office of the special counsel Jack Smith had asked the judge to impose restrictions on Donald Trump's attacks that they felt could intimidate witnesses. Judge Tanya Chutkan agreed. "There is a real risk that witnesses may be intimidated," Judge Chutkan said as she explained her decision from the bench, adding that just because Donald Trump was a 2024 presidential candidate and a Republican nomination frontrunner did not give him free rein to launch a pre-trial smear campaign on others. At issue were dozens of public remarks by Donald Trump and the Truth Social posts from him disparaging the case since he was indicted in August on charges he conspired to reverse his 2020 election defeat and obstructed the transfer of power, including the 6th of January 2021 congressional certification. The judge separated into five categories Donald Trump's inflammatory comments about the trial venue of Washington, D.C., the Biden administration and the Justice Department, special counsel Jack Smith and his staff, Judge Chutkan and her staff, as well as people who might be called to testify at the trial. Judge Tanya Chutkan appeared to have decided that she would not restrict Donald Trump from disparaging the trial venue because biased jurors could be filtered out before trial. She also indicated she would not restrict Donald Trump from attacking the government because it would be within the scope of political speech.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Reformation of the Mind. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We've heard too much about reformation, change, you know, having a transition. What is the true reformation is what we would like to discuss today. Well, first and foremost, the most important pillar for the reformation of individuals is the reformation of their minds. You know, sometimes when we talk about reformation, we're just too confined and too focused to the actions. It is not about actions. Necessarily. The real reformation which reflects in your actions is the reformation of the mind. Some imagine reformation to be a superficial thing, wherein they just change a few habits and assume that they have reformed themselves, and that this is what reformation is all about. Well, giving up some bad habits is good, but the scope of reformation is not limited and confined to that. The true reformation is the reformation of the mind. Keep this in your mind. Individual level reformation is one thing where Let's say we don't lie, we don't cheat, we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's disobedience, for instance, you know, we don't go down that route. That's a very individual level reformation. Then the higher level reformation after that is, the second level of reformation is the family level reformation, where you, you know, reform yourself to start respecting your parents, caring for your spouse and your children. The third level is where you're concerned about the society now. So it is the societal level reformation, supporting the oppressed, for instance, doing charity to uplift the downtrodden, etc. So reformation is not something just, you know, confined to giving up some habits. You know, it's basically a reformation of the mind, right? So this is what we need to keep in mind. Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are discussing the reformation of the mind. And we said that reformation does not imply that we just change some habits and keep living a life as we used to. No. Reformation is the reformation of the entire mindset. You know, that is the true reformation. And why should one reform is a question that may come to your mind. Well, the answer is we should reform for the sake of Allah. If man's actions are for the sake of Allah the Almighty and to show obedience to Him, or at least to obtain the reward of the world to come and to be saved from its punishment, they will bring about well-being and felicity in both the worlds for him, and he will be fruitful for the society. On the contrary, if his actions are only for material goals, they will not have elevated results. You know, sometimes we see that we bring about reformation, but it is for this dunya, for some dunyavi and for this worldly benefits that we want to reap through that superficial reformation. Well, guess what? If you reform yourself, if I reform myself, if we reform ourselves for the sake of Allah, then it guarantees our benefits in this world and our salvation in the hereafter as well. Reformation impacts your decision-making. The decision-making of an individual can only go through proper reformation if he or she has the proper reformation of the mind. Again, it's not about actions so much. Actions are the result of the reformation of one's mind. So inshallah, let's try to change that mindset, reform that mindset for good, for the sake of Allah, based on the instructions provided to us by Allah, His Prophet, and infallible Imams.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
In the limelight.
According to new data, one Palestinian child is killed every 15 minutes in Gaza by the Zionist regime forces. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, Gaza's morgues and hospitals continue to overflow with casualties. Defense for Children International Palestine said recently that Israeli regime forces have been killing a Palestinian child approximately every 15 minutes in Gaza since October 7th. Mohammed Abu Rokba, a field researcher for the children's rights groups in Gaza, said that the psychological repercussions of the Zionist regime war will be catastrophic. The rights group said that the trauma experienced by Palestinian children in Gaza extends beyond personal suffering. Witnessing the deaths of other children compounds their distress, leaving indelible scars on their mental well-being. Defense for Children International Palestine added, entire families are being wiped out in the blink of an eye, shattering the very foundations of these households. Children have been left orphaned and will now grapple not only with the pain of the current situation in their city, but also with the daunting challenge of navigating life without the foundational support of their families. The number of fatalities in Gaza may grow not only from more Zionist regime bombing, but also as a result of the comprehensive siege imposed on the territory, where almost no food, water, fuel, electricity or humanitarian supplies has been allowed in for more than a week. Hospitals are about to run out of fuel to power generators, according to the UN, endangering the lives of thousands of patients. Meanwhile, there is an imminent risk of death or infectious disease outbreak with the collapse of virtually all water and sanitation services in Gaza. As many as 1 million people, around half the population of Gaza, one of the most densely populated areas on the planet, are internally displaced, with many people moving from the northern Gaza to the south after the Zionist regime ordered its evacuation ahead of a threatened ground invasion. The Committee to Protect Journalists said recently that at least 15 journalists were among thousands dead since the war began on October 7th. The Press Freedom Watchdog said that freelance journalist Salam Mema is among the 11 Palestinian journalists killed in Gaza during that period. Her body was recovered from the rubble 3 days after her home was hit in an Israeli regime airstrike in Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza on October 10th. Shawan Jabarin, the director of the Palestinian human rights group Al-Haq, called for an international independent investigation. Speaking from Ramallah, Jabarin condemned the EU and the US for facilitating the Zionist regime's aggression on the civilian population in Gaza, which he said reached the threshold for the crime of genocide. Jabarin urged third states to pressure the Zionist regime to allow the UN Independent Commission of Inquiry to enter and investigate all crimes committed regardless of the perpetrators. The Zionist regime continued to target residential buildings in its non-stop bombardment of Gaza. Recently, Palestinians are, meanwhile, rationing whatever food, water and cooking gas they still have. Mohammed Gunim, a doctor at Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital, said that the current aggression in Gaza is like none other that people there had gone through before, and that the overwhelming number of casualties being received at the hospital are civilians. He said, the most difficult aspect is writing a number on the body of an injured child because their identity is not known. He warned of additional casualties if hospitals, which are being powered by emergency generators, run out of fuel. Meanwhile, hundreds of people were sheltering at Al-Shifa Hospital, the largest health facility in Gaza. Meanwhile, CNN reported that the United States was sending 2,000 Marines and sailors to join the warships it has already sent to the Eastern Mediterranean. The Biden administration has put on a big show of seemingly unconditional solidarity for the Zionist regime and has demonized Palestinians and parroted Israeli propaganda to manufacture consent for the genocidal campaign underway in Gaza. Recently, Blinken made a joint appearance with the Israeli regime war minister Yoav Gallant, who called Palestinians in Gaza human animals when declaring a complete siege on their territory. Gallant said that this will be a long war, the price will be high, but we are going to win for Israel and the Jewish people and for the values that both countries believe in. Behind the scenes, U.S. officials are reportedly pressuring the Zionist regime to determine an end game. The Biden administration is surely aware that the situation could rapidly escalate and embroil the United States in a broader regional war that will cost more American lives, as Sam Heller and Cambinas state in an analysis for the Century Foundation. Biden said in an interview broadcast recently that Israel taking full control of Gaza again would be a mistake.
The horrendous atrocities on Palestinian soil.
Part 2.
On the eve of July 9, 2014, the first Israeli aerial bombardment took place in what is considered the high-class neighborhood of Al-Rimal in Gaza City. The target of the raid was an automobile carrying a sign that read "Press" on it and driven by journalist Hamid Shahab, with co-worker Hatim Selmi at his side. They had stopped by Hatim's home to briefly check on his family, whom he had not seen in a while. Shahab remained in the car outside. A minute or two later, while Hatim was with his family, a missile hit their home, and Hamid Shahab lost his partner.
I was at the office working for the fourth day in a row without going home. I went then, returned home, had a bath, and changed my clothes. I saw my family, but decided not to see my mother as I knew she would become too emotional. You know how mothers get after their sons are away for a while. Hamid phoned me to say he was coming to my home. I went to the balcony to watch for him, but he said he couldn't see me. He told me he was entering the street, and I was looking down both sides to find him. He entered from the Kazim area, from the opposite lane, because he was coming from Al-Sabra neighborhood. So he said he is now in the street, and I told him I saw him and ended the call. I was going downstairs. My mother was there, and she commented that she had not seen me in a while and that she missed me. I was touched and moved back to kiss her hands and head, and I was about to hold my brother's hand when there was a huge explosion.
It was Ramadan, and we were leaving the mosque after Taraweeh prayers. We sat with my cousins and a few uncles next to a press vehicle. Another car parked behind us to pick up Hatim Selmi, a journalist who was upstairs.
وقفت هان السيارة.
The driver's mobile rang, and the next thing I was aware of, we all woke up at the hospital.
I held one victim in my arms, but he was lifeless. I moved to the next, and they too were dead. Then another and another. I wanted to work my way through those that died so that I may find someone alive to rescue. The injured I could help. The driver was nowhere to be found. The car was unrecognizable. The explosion was so severe. I searched for the driver, but found nothing until a first aid officer found his legs and half of his abdomen. The car suffered a direct hit. It was indeed the target. I imagined myself sitting next to him when the explosion occurred, cut to ribbons, dying together as martyrs.
As the war on Gaza continued, the targeting of journalists too continued and escalated. Israeli occupational forces assassinated 6 journalists, all in 1 month, prompting many other journalists to go into hiding.
I would often warn him, but he always insisted on venturing out to film and record the truth for the world to see. It was in his blood, and he worked passionately day and night. The only time you knew he was alive was when he would call and tell us he is in a certain place and safe.
He would film the martyrs and help carry the injured on his searching to find them all. He used to come home asking about me and my day. He hid his bloodstained clothes from me because he knows I have high blood pressure and diabetes. He didn't want me to feel upset.
Rami was very courageous. Whenever I saw him putting on his helmet and vest, I would ask, "Where are you going?" He would say he was going to do his job and show the truth to the world. I reminded him that we have young children that need their father, but he always said, "What's meant to happen will happen. We can't lock him in a room."
Rami Ryan did not respond to calls from his parents and wife to stay home and not cover the war and go out in search of crimes being committed by the Israeli aggressors. Rami is a photographer and an only son. He is married with 4 children, and his job supports them all, the whole family. Rami's family, like other families of journalists, worried incessantly every time a bombing or massacre occurred. It was a traumatic time for all.
I had my child Rami after 14 years of marriage. I spoiled and doted upon him as he was my only son. He married after high school and had 2 girls and 2 boys. I always scolded him, saying he is an only son and all would be lost if someone were to knock on my door and tell me something happened to him. May he rest in peace. He never listened to me. His work was a message he had to deliver, even if the price was his blood. He was prepared to die for the cause.
I found him in his last days. He was away so much, and I told him that he needs to come home and spend time with his children, as they missed him so. He promised to come home early that night, and he did come, and we ate dinner together. He showed us some of what he had filmed, horrible scenes from his trips accompanying the PRCS as they evacuated displaced people from Ashajaia.
The last time I saw him, I was in afternoon prayer and he was about to leave. I raised my voice saying, "Allahu Akbar," to make him wait. Then he came to the window side and waited. Once I finished my prayers, I told him that his kids are still young and that because of the risk he was taking, that one day he would die in the blink of an eye. He told me that Allah will look after them and told me that if I locked him in a box, he would die. So it's better that he lives as he was meant to. I told him that he exhausted me with worry, but that he's also right in what he said.
One day, Rami journeyed out to cover a massacre in Al-Shajaiya neighborhood. His photos taken at the site were the last images he ever took. Scores of rockets and missiles rained down on the same area after the initial massacre, and Rami was martyred.
The incident of injuring and killing and murdering Rami Rayyan in Ash-Shaja'iyya neighborhood when the Israeli occupation forces targeted the market, killing with the deceased Rami more than 17 people from Ash-Shaja'iyya neighborhood. That was another evidence that our job is full of risks and that our life is at the stake, but that also that surprised us, but that also made us determined that we are the guards of the truth.
Rami's family lost their son, husband, father, and sole breadwinner. The only consolation for the family members is that Rami died exposing the truth embedded in the photographs he took of the massacres and other crimes committed against the Palestinian people.
May he rest in peace. He has been martyred, which is a privilege. Praise the Lord that he was chosen. He was a kind-hearted and a good man. There is nothing worse, though, than when a child asks you, "Where is her father?" You might answer that he's in paradise, but then the child says, "When it rains, Dad will get wet, and so he should come here to stay warm with us." You answer that it won't rain on him, as the Lord protects him in paradise, where he has everything.
The war in Gaza lasted for 51 days. By the end, dozens of journalists had been killed or injured, witnesses to Israel's great loss over its battle to monopolize and control media exposure, which severely damaged its reputation on the world stage, witnesses to the success of Palestinian resistance in the face of one of the largest and most technologically advanced armies in the world today.
Here there are 7 martyrs and about 30 wounded. Of the wounded, some have permanent disabilities. In every war by Israeli aggression, there's a great sacrifice from the Palestinian media sector, and I can tell you that we have no problem in giving our souls freely to expose the hellish barbarism of the Zionist regime.
We have lost in this war 18 brothers from the family of the press in Gaza. If journalists didn't put their lives on the line to expose Israel's crimes, if they did not succeed in this mission to be the messengers of the occupied peoples, then they would have not been targeted by the Israeli army. I think the Palestinian press succeeded in their endeavors that shows their love for their homeland.
There was a distant challenge this time in that the Palestinian media became a serious counterweapon versus the Western-dominated Israeli media and narrative. We were able to refute their narrative of lies and manipulation of the truth this time. They overrode our signal, but we broadcasted from other stations. When Al-Shaab radio station was targeted, the Al-Quds station was saying, "Here is Al-Shaab voice from the studios of Al-Quds station." When Watan and Al-Aqsa stations were targeted, we said we were their voice. We made it clear if they targeted one studio that the whole Gaza radio network would all be the voice for Al-Quds or Al-Shaab or any other Palestinian station attacked. We think we succeeded in this battle to make the truth in war prevail and to successfully counter many of the lies broadcasted as Israeli propaganda.
Even if a war erupted right now, we will still continue our work. For instance, I'm from the neighborhood of Beit Hanun, where almost every family has been displaced. My family stayed initially in a collective center. Our house was targeted, and thirdly, my place of work at Al-Watania Media was taken out by a missile. It took me just 4 hours to get back to my duties. Every journalist is subject to risks, just as the families and the thousands of children displaced. I didn't see my family for 52 days. Even when injured, I kept on working. Palestinian journalists are fierce workers in their dedication to expose the occupation in all its aspects.
Almost immediately after the war came to an end, media personnel returned to their offices to work, and staff of the destroyed networks found new premises to set up in and continue their brave cause.
As soon as the radio station was bombed by an Israeli airstrike, we were back in the saddle coming up with ways to get back on air reporting events. Even with the loss of the archive and the old premises of Al-Shaab, we started working and thinking of how to revive our efforts despite the sustained risks. Nothing will stop us from our path to serve the Palestinian cause.
Al-Aqsa radio station represented the resistance media, a voice that will never run out of means to continue. We have infinite alternatives and options that the enemy is not even aware of. Our signals will never be permanently ended. With Allah's will, we will return to the airwaves, always, one time more than we are knocked down.
They may have killed or deported journalists, but their pictures are immortal witnesses to all the horrendous atrocities committed by the Israeli occupation on Palestinian soil.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I really, really welcome you all, especially our brothers here. I really welcome you all. Fawad, Haider, Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam, sir. I'm fine.
Alhamdulillah. Hassan, Nasrullah, how are you?
Alaikum assalam, sir. Fine,
alhamdulillah. Welcome. And Ali Nasir?
Alaikum assalam, sir. Alhamdulillah.
I really welcome you. And Hussein Ruhullah, how
alaykum
about you?
Alaikum assalam, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. I'm good. Alhamdulillah. So everyone is fine here. Alhamdulillah. We wish you all are fine and healthy, brothers and sisters out there listening to IRIB English Radio. Let's get started. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 100 in Surah Al-Ma'idah on page 124. 124. So, brothers and sisters, hold your Quran. Dear listeners, turn to page 124, 124, Ayah 100 or 100, 100 in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Let's get started by listening to the recitation of this ayah, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث فاتقوا الله يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تفلحون.
Alhamdulillah, nice recitation, heart touching. I really liked it. Hope you've liked it too. So don't worry, you will be able to recite the way he recites, or maybe kind of better, or maybe close to him, okay? But first, the same as our previous sessions, let's see what Allah Almighty says in this ayah, having a short explanation, inshallah. Then, of course, you need to refer to the tafsir books to learn more and get more knowledgeable. So, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul. What does qul mean?
Say.
O Prophet, say. Say to the believers, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ. Say, the good and the bad are not equal.
Yes.
In the Quran, Allah Almighty has in Surah Fatir, I think. لَا يَسْتَوِي الْ... Huh? لَا يَسْتَوِي...
خَبِيث.
خَبِيث وَالطَّيِّبُ. And also, لَا يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لا يعلمون. And also ظلمات والنور, okay, the darkness and the light, okay, they are not equal, the knowledge and what, those who are knowledgeable and those who are not knowledgeable, they are not equal. The one who is alive, spiritually, and the one who is not alive spiritually, they are not equal. So these things are mentioned in the Quran. In Surah Fatir, you have this. So now, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ مِنَ الطَّيِّبُ. One of the two things that are not equal and they have a clear difference, okay, is what? خَبِيث and طَيِّب. The bad and the good.
Yes.
Bad and good, it means like things which are clearly really false things, okay? And things which are clearly true yes, things. Thing, yes. So, they are not equal. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. Though the abundance of the bad, okay, should amaze you. Even if you see that the bad things are a lot, okay? And they are so amazing. They might amaze you, surprise you, okay? Even if this happens, they are not equal. Or even like the bad thing is not better than the good thing. I will explain how. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. So be wary of Allah, O you who possess intellect. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Okay? Then Allah Almighty says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So that you may be felicitious. Okay. Now let's see what does khabith mean and what does, طيب mean exactly. So khabith means all the kind of impure things. For example, maybe there are a lot of people, okay, who are gambling. Gambling, we learned it is haram.
Yes.
This is a khabith thing, for example. This is an example. So somebody should not think of himself, oh, if gambling is haram, if gambling is bad, why a lot of people do it?
So question.
Yes?
Here, khabith is like relating to like rules term?
Anything. Like
it's a spiritual
term. Anything. Spiritually or materialistic. Okay? Anything. No matter. Physically or spiritually. Whatever. So it says, for example, a lot of people might tell lies in order to gain benefits. Okay? You say, oh, telling lies is so good. If it was not good, why a lot of people tell lies? وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ. Even if it amazes you. For example, you see some people, okay, they lie or they take bribe, okay? Or even they take usury, riba, okay? Benefits, okay? They have these things. They are haram in Islam. Riba, usury is haram, okay? Telling lies is haram. Maybe there are a lot of people, okay, by usury, they have a lot of wealth. They are so rich from haram ways, okay? From haram ways, they are so rich. And this should not tempt you. This should not give you this message that, look, we can gain a lot of good things. No matter it's in haram way, I can gain. They are not equal. They are not equal means that they will not have equal consequences both in this world and in the hereafter. In the hereafter, you will regret this. God forbid, if somebody thinks this way and acts upon these kind of beliefs, in the day of judgment, they will be
punished.
Yeah, they will be also regretting. Look, one of the names of day of judgment is the day of
regret.
يوم الحسرة. In that day, or also it's one of the names is يوم التغابن. تغابن means the day when you gain something. Some people gain, some people lose. The day of gain and loss. In that day, you will understand that all those things that, God forbid, you earned in a haram way, they don't benefit you. None of them benefit you.
Yes.
Of course, that's that way, okay? So Allah Almighty says that لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب. God forbid, eating in a haram way, maybe it will be like yummy. Yes? Don't think that this is good. It's not good.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So guys, I refer to the Tafsir books, inshallah, to learn more about this ayah, the explanation, inshallah. Thank you. That's all. That was a short explanation. Now, we don't have much time to go through details, so refer yourself to the Tafsir books. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. This albab gives you this hint, okay, that if you have wisdom, if you possess intellect, you must understand this. So, let's move on to the tajweed rules, mention some of the important ones, inshallah, in terms of beautiful recitation of the Quran. Hussein?
Yes?
Can you read this ayah once? Bismillah.
Yes.
Read this ayah. Everybody listen, then we'll mention the important rules.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث
أحسنت
فاتقوا الله يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تفلحون
أحسنت ما شاء الله. Nice recitation. Let's beautify this recitation more and more.
Yes.
Qulla, qulla. Do not extend the qul sound. L sound. No. Qulla, yastawil, yastawil. Khabith. Ignore the ya. Yastawil. Kha, khabith. Kha, heavy letter. Qulla, yastawil khabithu, khabithu. Tha, pronounce it correctly. Wattayibu, wattayibu. وَلَوْ أَعْ Not عَ Do not kind of change the places, okay? أَعْ أَ and عَيْن أَعْ جَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ جِيم. What does جِيم say, Hassan? You tell us.
It's optional to pause here or to continue.
All right. So if you pause here, خَبِيث ends with يَامَد. So here, for what? What do you do? Extend the sound, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
If you don't stop here, you don't extend the sound. So, وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. You extend the sound. But if you don't stop, make a pause here, you move on, you don't extend the sound.
وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ.
Okay? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Allah is pronounced with an A sound. يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Do you see that wow after U?
Yes, yes.
It has a sukun sign on the top.
Yes.
So it means you ignore this. Don't read the wow.
Yeah.
أُولَئِكَ أُولِي أُولُو. This word... Huh? You ignore that. Wow.
فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ.
You can extend the sound of mad. يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Or you ignore it.
يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ.
Which one beautifies it more?
Any of them you like. So, let me read, see which one is more beautiful.
فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ.
Next one.
فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ.
Which one is more beautiful? Any of them you like. That's why it's optional. لَعَلَّكُمْ
تُفْلِحُونَ.
At the end also, مَدُ الْعَارِضِ
لِسُكُونَ.
Extend the mad. That's all.
Yes.
Time to recite it for the final. At the end of the class. So, Listen carefully, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with us up to this time. Let's practice it together with Ali Nasir, Fawad Hassan, and Hussein.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
قل لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث.
قل لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث.
فاتقوا الله يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تفلحون.
فاتقوا الله يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تفلحون.
Let's ignore them.
فاتقوا الله يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تفلحون.
فاتقوا الله يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تفلحون.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Ahsantum, mashallah. That's it, brothers and sisters. Hope you have learned something from this session. See you. Stay with IRB English Radio. We'll be here, inshallah, in the next coming sessions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel's attacks on Palestinian homes and infrastructure continue across the besieged Gaza Strip, killing more people, including women and children. The Israeli regime also cracks down on Palestinians in the occupied West Bank, killing at least 13 in the city of Tul Karam. And fresh pro-Palestine protests take place worldwide as anti-Israel sentiments are growing over the regime's war on Gaza.